It is certainly great to be with you today. As Toby mentioned, I am amazed at all the people that are able to be here in this room this morning. I do recognize it is Easter Sunday, but at the same time, for us, it is just great to be able to see so many. It's great to be able to see so many people on so many pews. I recognize in this day and time that there are still some that aren't able to be a part of our services, that are not able to maybe feel vaccinated or safe enough, and some are still tuned in. I do appreciate those who still do that and make the effort, obviously, to do it. But I'm also thankful to look around and see so many brothers and sisters in Christ. What a day. A day that we celebrate. Toby mentioned that we have the opportunity to celebrate every week. But today is the day that our world, in such a time when so many things are wanting to be canceled, we still recognize that our Lord is arisen. He is risen from the dead. He's not in a grave. He's not dead. He is alive. And because He is alive, we have the opportunity to be alive in Christ today. There is a day coming when there will be a death. For many of us, it will be a first death if we live long enough. But the Bible talks about a second death. We can't avoid that first death. Now, if Christ returns, we can't avoid it. We understand that. But if we live long enough, we can avoid the first death. And as sad as that is, the good news today is because of Jesus Christ being out of the grave and at the right hand of God, we can avoid that second death. And I'm so thankful for that opportunity. Today, we're talking about Elevate. We're talking about Jesus Christ. And I want to focus our attention on Jesus today. I want to focus our attention, as we just did at the Lord's Supper, on God being that "but God" verse that Toby read about. God loves us so much. In Romans, it reminds us He demonstrated His love in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We want to focus on Christ. We want to focus on His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. We call that the gospel. But specifically around those moments, what I want to focus on today are His words. When you think about the words of someone, and there are a lot of famous words that people are mindful of, and sometimes you'll see on social media or sometimes on the news or on TV or in a show or in a book somewhere, somebody quote some famous words, maybe even last words of some famous or infamous person. And that is fine and good, and there are a lot of great words that we can draw from people of history that have made profound statements. But there's been no greater profound statements ever made than the words of Jesus Christ. And so with that today, I want you to join me in a passage that Kent read from just a moment ago, and that is in Matthew chapter 28. I do have it on the screen, the first few verses here. In Matthew 28, again, this is Matthew's account of the resurrection of our Lord. We have the words, "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay.'" You know, I think that very passage we've probably read in some form or fashion. If you've been in the church a long time, we've read it on Easter Sunday for a long, long time now. But to me, it never gets old. It never gets old because of the words of the angel. The angel who they were sent, their job was to send a message. Sometimes they delivered it orally, sometimes they delivered it physically, sometimes they delivered it in other ways, through scrolls or what have you. But here's the message of the angel. There was a message in him sitting on that stone, by the way. He rolled that stone away. Jesus was not there, and he's sitting on it saying, "Hey, our Savior is on top of everything." Kind of what it simulated. But then he tells them, "Do not be afraid." And I love verse 6. He said, "He is not here." Now, this is, of course, right after Jesus Christ has, on that Friday, been crucified. As he lay there in the grave. And then what happened in between, we know that he went and he took the keys to death away from Satan. But as he resurrects himself from the grave, just moments before that, just hours before that, Jesus had some of the most famous words in history. And as you see, they'll start appearing here on the screen. I don't have time to go over all these words, but these words are so amazing. We call these the seven sayings of Jesus Christ. Because of these seven quotes from the greatest man who has ever lived, we're able to be here today. Because he sat on that cross for all of those hours, and every time he longed to even get a breath, he would have to rip his battered body up against that tree just to get air in his lungs. And so along the way, Jesus couldn't say a whole lot. But these are the words that were recorded by the authors of the gospel, by the Holy Spirit himself of Jesus Christ as he was on the cross. You see, in order to celebrate a resurrection, there must be a death. And these famous last words were said at the death of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I guess today we could focus on those words. But today is not a day to talk about death. Today is a day to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. A day to celebrate Him not staying dead. Up from the grave, He arose with a mighty triumph for His foes, we oftentimes sing. It was after His resurrection that Jesus Christ appeared to over 500 people in a period of 40 days. And it was at this time, before His ascension back to the Father, that our Savior also had some famous words that I want us to focus on today. So, these are the words of the Savior dying. What are the words of the resurrected Savior? Today, as we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord, what words did He say to bring us comfort, to bring us peace, to give us hope? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's what we're going to talk about today. But first, I want you to turn back to Matthew 28. You surely still have it there. And we'll pick back up in 5. And I want to read through verse 9 this time. "But the angel answered and said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. For he is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold," don't miss this, "Jesus met them." Now, I want you to think about this scene for a moment. I just got chill bumps all over again, and I've done it several times as I was preparing for this lesson. But I want you to see this scene. Jesus Christ, those words that we just talked about right there, Jesus Christ had uttered those words. Mary, who loved Jesus, Mary, his mother, all these ladies, all these people, his disciples, everyone else, if they were in the vicinity, they heard Jesus utter these words. They heard his mother, as he said there to John, "Behold your son, behold you, your mother, go take care of my mom, John." His mother watched him die, watched him go through these things, heard him say, "I thirst." She was there when the darkness was there. Mary Magdalene would have been close. All these ladies would have been there. And now Jesus has died. They go, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary come to the tomb, and they go there to anoint him, to take care of him, to see what is going on. And he's not there. And now this angel tells them, "Don't be afraid, but I want you to go. Jesus is coming." And so now all these emotions are going through their minds, and they run into a man who they may not have recognized at first, because Jesus, you know, he appeared at one time as they thought it was the gardener, and then he walked with some guys on the road to Emmaus. And so there's a lot of things going on that maybe we can't explain. But here's what I do know. According to Matthew, they understand it's Jesus. Jesus could have said anything to them at that moment. Here's what he chose to say. He said, "Rejoice. Rejoice." And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." The first word out of the resurrected Savior's mouth was the word rejoice. Today, Jesus is still reminding us we need to be rejoicing. Don't cry, Mary. Don't mourn. Don't hurt. Rather, rejoice. What did this single word message mean? What did it imply to these ladies? First of all, it meant that Satan had been whipped. You hear me? Jesus had whipped him. He had destroyed him. He had defeated him. And because of that, we need to rejoice. I don't care what the media says. I don't care what fear tactics the devil tries to use. Folks, today, if I am resurrected in the waters of baptism, in the blood of Jesus Christ, I know Satan is defeated, and I better be rejoicing. What else did that single word mean? It meant that death was overcome. I have beat Satan. He thought he had me, but I overcame death, crushing death, crushing his head. Go back to Genesis 1. Go back to that mindset. Go back to Genesis 3 when that messianic prophecy there was that he will bruise your heel, but you will crush his head. Jesus Christ come up out of the grave and he crushed the head of Satan. He crushed him. He overcame death. Today we can rejoice because we too have that opportunity. It meant that we would not have to perish, is what the word rejoice meant. It meant that we would not have to endure that second death. It meant that indeed, as Jesus said on the cross, it was finished. Jesus said it on the cross, "It is finished." But when he said the word rejoice, we had clarity to know that it was finished. It meant, as we oftentimes sing, "Hallelujah, what a Savior." Rejoice. What a word. What a word in that moment. There ought not to be anyone in this room today that does not leave here rejoicing, because we serve a risen Savior. He's not a statue. He's not a made-up God. He's not in a grave dead. He's risen. So let's all rejoice. But that's not all Jesus said. There are more words of Christ recorded for us after He had resurrected from the dead. That's just a big one, right? First words out of His mouth, rejoice. But I want you to look now at verse 10 in Matthew 28. Then Jesus said to them, He just told them, rejoice. But then He said, do not be afraid. Go and tell My brethren to go to Galilee, and they there will see Me. The next phrase out of Jesus Christ, do not be afraid. He told the ladies to rejoice, then He told them, don't be afraid. Why? Why do you think Jesus chose this phrase? This is all speculation. But perhaps they had a startled look on their faces. I told you they've probably been through the gambit of emotions, right? They've gone through all these things. They meet this angel and He tells them, don't be afraid. So obviously they're startled. There's something going on. Maybe they were even trembling. You know how sometimes we can get and we're not even sure why, what's going on, but because of our nerves, because of our anxiousness, because of our whatever, we're trembling. Maybe they were doing that. Perhaps He knew that they probably haven't slept much and they've been emotional and they're caught up in the emotion of the day, so they needed to hear those words. Perhaps He knew they were going to be concerned over the mission. He told them to go to Galilee. Maybe they were concerned over that mission He was about to send them on. I don't really know. But no matter what, I can only imagine how that phrase, do not be afraid, comforted them. It gave them hope. It gave them peace. There was another time in Scripture that Jesus used these words. It was after His relative, John the Baptist, had been beheaded, that Jesus had separated Himself from the disciples. You recall this story, Matthew 14. And because of that, He sent them out, and they're out in the sea, and the wind becomes tumultuous, and it starts to blow their boat and rock them back and forth, and this windstorm and this rain and such is coming up. And so Jesus then, He just like, I'm going to go out to them, and He just takes a shortcut. He didn't call for the boat to come in. He just starts walking out on the sea to them. And they see that, and maybe there's, you know, it's hard for them to see. Maybe there's a glow. Maybe there's something, the moonlight just hitting. I don't know, but whatever they thought it was, they thought, hey, that's a ghost. They're scared, right? They're in this boat. They're afraid. And all of a sudden, they see this figure walking on the water. And they say, hey, it is a ghost. But what did Jesus say? He didn't say, why do you doubt? He didn't say, why are you so afraid? He didn't say, oh, you of little faith, at least on that occasion. He said to them, it is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus, on another occasion, Mark chapter 4, He is asleep because He's probably tired, right? That just makes good sense. Jesus had packed a lot into 3 years, and I'm sure He tried to sleep whenever He could. But He was on a boat ride across the water. Another great windstorm comes up. He's asleep on a pillow. They wake Him up. Do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that we are dying? He wakes up and He calmed the storm, and then He said to them, or asked them, why are you so fearful? In other words, the way Terry likes to put it, he said, hey, why are you so afraid? I'm on the boat. Do not be afraid. I'm on the boat. Maybe today you came here afraid. You know, there's a time right now that if we're not careful, fear can reign supreme in our life. Our media is trying to do it. Our society is trying to do it. The devil wants you to believe it. You don't do anything. I'm not saying be cautious. You know where I come from on that. But the media is trying to tell us, you don't do anything. You don't leave your house. You don't get together with family. You don't do this. You don't do that. You stay in your room. You stay in your house. And you sit there in fear. They may not say those words, but it's implied. The devil wants nothing more than for us to be afraid all the time. The Bible said, where we learned it as a kid, that liars go to hell. It says in that same passage, so do the cowardly. We as Christians, we as baptized, resurrected believers, we cannot be afraid. We can't be afraid. Maybe today you tuned in, or maybe today you are here and you are afraid. Maybe it's because you've been walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Or maybe you've recently walked a path of death with a loved one. Well, I want you to know our risen Savior is still teaching, do not be afraid. Maybe today you're haunted by some past sins. Maybe you're haunted by some past regrets. Again, our risen Savior is saying to you, I've conquered them all. Do not be afraid. Maybe you're going through some kind of other storm. Maybe today you are on a boat with your family, and you feel like you're taking on too much water. You're starting to paddle, you're starting to tread, you're starting to sink. Well, I want to remind you today that if Jesus Christ is the captain of your boat, if He is the captain of your ship, our risen Savior is still teaching us, do not be afraid. We need to allow His perfect love to cast out our fears today. For our next phrase of Jesus Christ, I want you to turn over to Luke's account of this. Luke chapter 24. Let's read together verses 44 through 46. Luke 24 now, beginning in 44. Then He said to them, that's Jesus, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms, concerning me. And He opened their understanding, that they might comprehend the Scriptures. Then He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary, for the Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead, the third day. The third phrase I want to leave you with of Jesus Christ today is this. Why did it happen? Jesus said it, not me, because it was necessary. It was necessary. Today we celebrate Jesus Christ. We celebrate the empty tomb. We celebrate that He is no longer dead and we serve a risen Savior. So we rejoice. We don't have to be afraid, but we need to understand what Jesus went through. He said it. It was necessary. It was necessary. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. It was necessary because no man comes to the Father except by the Son. It was necessary because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. It was necessary because God is not willing that any should perish. It was necessary because God is love. I'm very sorry. I really am. That Christ had to die. I'm really sorry that He had to suffer that cruel death. But I'm here to tell you I'm so thankful that He did. I'm so thankful that He was willing. I'm so thankful that He decided to go. And to take my place, to take your place. You see, it was necessary for Jesus to die, and it's necessary for us to obey Him. It is necessary for us to follow Him. If we are going to dwell with Him in the house of the Lord forever, then it's necessary. Jesus said, rejoice. Jesus said, do not be afraid. Jesus says it was necessary. And I want to leave you with one more word this morning. But in order to do that, we need to turn to John's account of it. So turn to John chapter 20. And let's read together verses 11 through 16. John 20, verse 11.
But Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white, sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him." Can you hear the anguish in her voice? Can you hear the anxiousness? Can you hear the fear? Can you hear the trembling? Can you hear the emotion? She said, "Sir, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." One simple word. One simple name. But oh, what a powerful lesson. With the word Mary, Jesus was sending a powerful message, letting her know everything is going to be all right. He calmed her fear with one simple word. He let her know, "I know your name." Can I put ourselves in Mary's place? Can we imagine the moment? Now remember what Jesus had done for Mary. Remember how he had cast out demons. Remember how he had taken her from a broken state and made her whole. And she had walked with him, and she was part of his ministry. She was there through good times, bad times, tough times, sad times. She loves the Savior. He is her friend. She goes to the tomb. Peter didn't go. John didn't go. Matthew didn't go. Bartholomew didn't go. We could go on and on, right? But Mary went. And now she doesn't know fully what's going on. She sees this strange man, thinking he's a gardener keeping the flowers up around there. And she says, "Is it you? Did you take his body away? If you'll just say, you don't even have to go get it for me. Just tell me where you put him." And it was at the word Mary that she understood fully who that gardener was. She understood that he was no gardener at all, that he was her friend, that he was her Savior, that he was the resurrected Messiah. Today, maybe right now, you're at a point in your life where you've had to see Jesus go. Maybe it's because you walked out on him. Maybe life's circumstances walked in on you. But maybe there's some here today that have said goodbye to Jesus as Lord. Maybe you sit in the seats that you're in today and you've been afraid because you've become a stranger to God. Maybe you are here today and you feel alone with no direction in your life. Guess what? Jesus still knows your name. He knows your name. And He's calling you home. Today, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. But today, we'd love to celebrate even more because one of His lost sheep have come home. Rejoice. Do not be afraid. After all, it was necessary. And remember, He's calling your name. He's calling you home. Why keep Jesus waiting? I'm glad you're here. For whatever reason, you decided to brave whatever today and come and be here. Maybe it's because you were invited. Maybe it's because you felt the need to celebrate Jesus today. But for whatever reason you're here, if you are struggling, if you have not yet obeyed Jesus Christ, do not leave here lost. Leave here knowing the risen Savior. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.